WLR's My Farming Week, a Daisha Today special on some of Ireland's best farms.
Thanks to IFAC, your local food and agribusiness accountants. See ifac.ie.
Well, good morning, Damien. This morning we're out in Clonay Power with a story with a difference. I'm down here with Mairead Barn because Mairead Barn has leased a farm down here in Clonay Power. She's a Tournina native, but she's leased a dairy farm down here in Clonay Power. We're joined by Mairead and also by her dad, Tom. First of all, Mairead, thanks for having us down in Clonay Power.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Kieran.
Mairead, as regards leasing a farm, a young girl, my God, where did this idea, whole piece, come of leasing a farm from?
I suppose the idea was always in my head, but it was Daddy and Mammy that really pushed me into it. I studied agricultural science in UCD, and, well, really before that, I had no interest in farming. I grew up on a farm, and it was always a case of Daddy shouting up the stairs, telling me to get up and come out and help and do stuff. And yeah, I had no interest. And I started doing ag science, actually, for the leaving cert.
So you went to Dungarvan, is it? Art school in Dungarvan?
The art school, yeah. And we actually, there was a group of us that were interested in doing agricultural science. So we organised a tutor, and between the art school and the CBS, maybe 20 of us took up ag science after school. And when I started doing that, that's when I kind of, my interest peaked a bit in it. So then that led me to UCD.
So at home growing up, you hadn't a big interest in the farm. You weren't out helping with the calves or helping in the chores on the farm.
No.
You were a townie at that stage.
As little as I could. Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So going to UCD, again, a huge eye-opener for you.
Yeah, oh, big time. You were with like-minded people and country people and people who had the same interests as you, basically. Like, right. I was the farmer in the art school.
And what did you concentrate on in UCD?
Dairy business, so I specialised in, from year one. Yeah.
And a lot of the girls up there at that time, boys and girls, but the women in particular, were they with the intention of looking for a career in agri or going back to a farm?
Oh, no, definitely a career in agri. There was only one other girl in dairy business, and she is a dairy specialist now, I think, with a feed company or with Chagas. She was, anyway, right, with Chagas. Yeah. So that's what she ended up doing. And a lot of the boys ended up taking the same route, but they have intentions on coming home in a few years, like their fathers are still young.
But when you were in UCD then, did you get the feel for the farm? When you came home on holiday time, was it back out in the farm, or had you still kind of parked the idea of on-farm work?
Yeah, I still had the idea parked. I thought I'd get a handy job, you know, in Chagas or the department or something. But no, because I was waitressing in the Park Hotel all during during the summer, exactly. So I didn't have time to be out in the farm, even if I did or didn't want to be.
Now, before we came on air, you said the big deal breaker was New Zealand.
Yeah. So in our third year of college, we had to do 6 months placement. So you had the opportunity to go to New Zealand, and 16 of us went out to New Zealand out of 24, I think. And we were all spread across the South Island in New Zealand. So I was working for Canterbury Grasslands. They had maybe 11 or 12 separate dairies on the one farm.
And huge herds.
Each, the smallest ones were 500, and the one I was working on was 1200, with the intention of, they were building a new rotary and they were going to break that up into,
were you literally a farm labourer at that stage, or what type of work were you doing on the farm?
That's all. You were just a dairy assistant. So you were there milking, you were either bringing in the cows, milking the cows, or you were a calf rearer. But I was with the cows.
And was it a light bulb moment as such?
Oh yeah, I loved it. Loved every, the early morning.
Look what you missed out in Tournina.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I had an older brother, so.
All right. Yeah.
That, well, that was my, I had it in my head, like, look, I have an older brother, I won't, he'll be getting the farm, I won't be going home, so I'll have to start looking at other avenues.
We're delighted to be joined by the man himself here. Tom Barn, as you mentioned, growing up, shouting up the stairs to try and get her down, were you surprised when she came back from New Zealand, first of all, with the whole idea of getting involved in full-time farming?
Yes, I was very surprised. Actually, I used to be, often I give out to her, jokingly, that after spending 50,000 or 60,000 educating her mum in UCD to go milking cows.
But of course, Tom, and like growing up, you have your son John at home with you. Growing up on that family farm, John was going to be the heir apparent.
Not necessarily. If whichever one of them showed the most interest, or we wouldn't be biased if it was a boy or a girl.
Right,
whichever one of them wanted it, we were. And we were actually Yes. Said it to Mairead that if she would like to join up with John on the farm, she'd be more than welcome.
As regards then the farm at home, what type of scale of farm have you in Tornina?
We have milking over 230 cows. Okay. It's all dairy, nothing else. Just
spring calving dairy herd.
Spring calving dairy herd, yeah. Grass-based.
Are you in partnership with John or what way does that work?
We're in a partnership with John.
Yeah. And how have you found this year, particularly the dry spell? It must have been difficult out in Tornina.
No, not really. We like dry weather. Yeah. Our farm will be classed as a wet farm compared to Mairead's now here. It's a very dry farm.
So when Mairead came back with the idea, I'd love to get involved in farming, I'd look at leasing a farm, where did you go to from there?
We looked into it and then one day I saw an ad on the Farming Independent for Sean's Cusack's farm down in Clare Power. So we said we'd come down and have a look at it. Mm. And we rang him up, the auctioneer. We came down one day and looked at it and we really liked the place, and Mairead took a kind of a liking to the place, and I could see the potential of the place. So I made him an offer, which I didn't think he'd accept. Right. He rang me up 2 days later and said the place was mine if I wanted it.
And of course, leasing a farm, there's a lot involved. There's a lot of legal work, a lot of advice. You need accountants, you need solicitors, and of course, a bank as well.
Yeah, you do. And like I have to say, like Mary Rowan was a sister and she was very helpful. And IFAC and the Bank of Ireland. Right. They couldn't be more. They were all very helpful. But the only issue I would have with the Bank of Ireland, or the bank, not the Bank of Ireland, was Mairead could not get money on her own because she had no assets, so we had to bankroll up.
In other words, you'd be there to support. Your names had to be on all documentation.
Yeah, our names had to be on the bank accounts. But then the Department of Agriculture don't have a bit of an issue about that when she's classed as a young farmer. So, you know, it's...
The concept of leasing, Tom, now a lot of it is going on. At the time, it was pretty unique.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, very unique. Yeah, it was kind of a new thing. But
yes,
like we couldn't get enough of money to buy a farm. So like we looked at this and we said, and we did the figures, and like you actually leasing a farm is more financially viable than actually buying it.
Taxman doesn't listen to us.
Which doesn't, yeah. But
I know what you mean. Yeah, it's more viable.
It's more viable. Yeah. Yeah.
Mairead, leasing a farm, right, it was a whole new concept for you as well. When you came down to here and saw this farm, you'd say, yeah, this is the farm I'd love to work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was there a bit of that first sight?
Yeah, we actually had seen another farm before that down in, I think it was in Skibbereen near Skibbereen. It was really far away anyways. I hated it.
Right.
I hated it. The second I got in the place, I hated it.
Because when you hit Clonay Power here.
I loved it. And yeah. Sure.
You're only over the mountain.
That's all. That's it. Like, I'm far enough away to do my own thing.
Yes.
But if anything goes wrong, I can ring him up and he'll be down in half an hour.
And then, obviously, you get all the ducks in a row about financial, legal, all the documentation. You were telling me before we came here, a 15-year lease.
Yeah, 15. Yeah. So we're in six now. Yeah. 6 years done. Well.
So taking over the herd here, obviously, you literally had to start from scratch. There was a herd here, and then to build up the herd to what you have today, what numbers are you at presently, and what did you come with here? Or what was here when you arrived?
Yeah, we have 100 now. I think there was maybe 80 a herd of 80 or 80-ish.
So 100 probably maxed out for the land block here.
Yeah, it is. Like, there's 100, I have 100 acres grazing platform, you could say. Yes. So, sure, it is a cow to the acre. But I wouldn't want to be pushing it either because dry weather.
Okay. Now, you're fortunate you have your dad of advisor, but you also have a Chagas advisor before we come here, you said, who's a huge part of your day-to-day running of the farm.
Oh, yeah, Ruth Fennell in Dungarvan. Sure, I wouldn't have a clue how to do any of the paperwork. One year I tried to do it on my own and I made a huge mess and she had to fix it all for me. Nice. So anything that comes now in the post or anything that has to be done, I don't even look at it.
So you're delighted you made the decision. I want to be on the farm, not in the department of Chagaska, doing all the admin.
Oh, I'd be stressed out.
You love the outdoor work.
Love it. Yeah. Don't mind it. Yeah.
And obviously, busy time in the spring?
Yeah, busy enough. I don't feel the time going. I prefer to be busy than idle, you know.
I mentioned to your dad about the dry spell. How was the dry spell for you farming here, grassland-wise, down here in Clonay Power?
It was okay this year. We're lucky we got the rain when we did. We had about 70 mils this weekend alone, so it was a good sup of rain. Like, but if it didn't come, we would have been in trouble. There definitely would have been silage going out.
And first cut silage, how well did it go for you?
Yeah, it was good. It's done. Took out a few paddocks on the home, on the grazing platform. They were very heavy. We got 10.5 bales to the acre or so, okay. So I was happy with that. Yeah. And I have another 23 acres leased down the road off of my neighbour Phil. And we got another 155 or so off of that. So, yeah, we're doing well. We're doing well.
You love what you do, Murray.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
Well, Damien, as I said earlier, we're here in Clannay Power. We'll take a break now, but don't go away. We'll come back to Mairead Barron and our dad, Tom, here in Clannay Power, who has leased a farm. Mairead has leased a farm for 15 years down in Clannay Power. Welcome back to part two here, Damien, this morning. We're down here in Clannay Power with Mairead Barron, who's leased a dairy farm down here, the Cusick Farm, for 15 years, and also we're joined by her dad, Tom. Mairead, as you said, developing the herd here, a lot of work on the ground, but currently as regards getting solids right, getting the breeding right, how difficult has it been to set up the herd here?
So when we first started out, there was a lack of good quality cows to be bought in, I think, the back end of 2017, so... Daddy was speaking to a few people at shows and things, you know, Grass Tech and the likes about cows, and they said you're better off to just keep the herd that you have on the farm or that comes with the farm, yeah, or whatever, and then just gradually over the few years weed out the poor performers. And that's kind of what we did. So we started out with maybe 80 British Friesian cows. Some were very good, some are poor. There was five or six of them off the top of my head that were just riddled with high cell count and mastitis and couldn't
be
cured.
Milk record?
Yeah, 4 times a year. Yeah, so, yeah, we were able to identify all those ones, and they had to be culled, unfortunately. So we replaced them then with stock from the home farm that Dad and John breed, and they have a specific 500 kilos of milk solids, all this.
Yeah.
I'll be the first one to say it, I'm not... Because I don't breed, I'm not
really
educated on it enough.
It is a big area for you of interest. It would be, but bottom line. But
yeah, because I'm not breeding, I'm not.
But you have the expert in data and your brother John.
But John and Dad do all that.
Yeah.
So I just know from them that we want cows that'll do 500 kilos of milk solids. They're light on the ground.
Mm. And of course, with milk, people don't realise day in, day out, when or every second day collection, whatever you have from Tier Lawn, you get the results quickly, so you know exactly where you're going from week to week.
Yeah, oh, straight away. Yeah, I only just got a text before you came with yesterday's details, or the collection before that, maybe, I think. Mm. So everything is right there in front of you on the phone. Yeah.
The breeding then, you started out with Holstein Friesians.
Mm. Yeah, we're gone. Well, we kind of went down the crossbred route because that's what they were breeding at home, but I think it's after coming back a little bit.
Okay.
It's not so Jersey anymore.
Okay.
But yeah, no, they're really coming into their own now. Anything I would have gotten off of them is maybe 4 or 5 years old now, and you can really see that they're starting to peak.
And then rearing calves and replacements, what way does that work for you?
I don't keep anything, so everything is bred to AI, all Angus AI. I pick four or five easy calving is what I want. I don't want any issues. I just want the cows to pop them out and be done. So I sell all the calves at 2 week to a man, Michael Cody, up in Nine Mile House, and he buys about 70 of them off of me, and he'll rear them then for the 2 years, and he'll slaughter them.
Last year, like everyone, a bonanza. Okay, costs went through the roof, but also a great milk price last year. Obviously things have flipped a bit, milk price has come back, but the costs still remain high.
I'm being told, if you look at it in detail, that the price is actually pretty much the same. We're being paid nearly the same. Yeah. Like when you take into our solids into account, we're still getting as good a price as we were last year. This year, yeah.
Okay.
But like, feed and fertilizer have come down. Like, they were slow to come down, but you got to feed them and you got to spread fertilizer to get the grass growing. So
now the buzzword in dairying, in all farming and agri, is sustainability. Mm-hmm. Running the farm here, how conscious of you are of that? And I can see from the fabulous trees and hedgerows you have here, obviously from a biodiversity point of view, but how difficult and how conscious are you the importance of sustainability?
Yeah, 16% of the farm is for nature here. There's an abundance of trees and hedgerows here. We just maintain them every year. Well, before I used to cut them back every year, but now we only do it every third year. And the road is done, but the road we never cut the road. You see the road skinned back, yes. Sometimes. You just lightly cut the road. Mm. You don't skin it back.
Then, of course, the whole area of the trailing shoe for slurry, and also then, of course, protected urea. Are they part of your planks? And, of course, we'll talk about the clover swards as well.
Oh, yeah. It's all protected urea we use here.
How difficult was that change, and how has it worked for you?
Gradually last year I started using it more, and this year so far now it's all protected urea. That's
more environmentally friendly,
yeah,
for the animals.
Definitely, yeah, yes. And especially during this hot spell, like, it's just not going up into, right, the atmosphere. It's right, protected.
Yes.
Definitely, I don't see any difference, right, between that or can or whatever else you'd be using.
Then grass seeds and grassland management. From your time out in New Zealand, from your time in UCD, has been trial and error. Obviously, you have your dad's farm at home as well, and your brother John to bounce off. But the grassland management here is top class. Was that a learning process, trial and error?
I suppose it was. I Daddy used to say I definitely pushed him a bit too hard, like with okay, the strip grazing.
Yes.
I strip graze all year round because I don't. If I let them into the whole field thinking they'd get a 24-hour grazing, they'd have that grazed in when you go down, yes, for the next milking. Yes. So I just strip graze them all year, and they're happy out.
Mairead, we also mentioned silage early on, and before we come here, you mentioned you're very lucky as regards the trailing shoe. You have a contractor, and of course you have a silage contract, but the trailing shoe for the spreading of slurry, hugely important environmentally wise as well.
Oh, massively, yeah. Patsy and David Nugent, they do the slurry here. We put out 90% of it with the trailing shoe. That's what they use, and they use the umbilical system as well.
Yes.
So it's nice and light on the ground as well. You're not compacting the soil down with heavy tankers going around. So they do all that, and you'd see it yourself, right, like there's a big difference in what's spread with a splash plate and what's spread with the shoe.
Exactly. And of course the silage as well, you get in an outside contractor.
Yeah, Stephen Shanahan from Portlaw, then he does the silage for us, all bales. He did the reseeding as well this year for us as well, so no hassle with any of them. You just ring them up maybe a day or two in advance and say, listen, I want to go cutting this silage, would it suit you? And no messing, just cut away.
You mentioned earlier you went to Orskull. You're more a towny girl living in the country.
Yeah.
UCD was a slight change. Going to New Zealand was a real game changer. Mm. As regards Mochra Firma then, at what stage did you get involved in Mochra, and how helpful has Mochra been for you?
Yeah, I joined Mochra when I graduated college, thinking I'd meet, because I had no farmer friends.
Okay.
So that's
you
where
you were a townie.
Yeah, yeah.
Living in the country.
Friends, yeah, exactly. They didn't know.
Yes,
yeah, okay. They all thought I was the farmer.
Yes.
So I joined Mochra to meet, young farmers, and that's what happened. And then kind of Dungarvan kind of shut down for a while, so I moved to Kilmac Thomas, and sure, a lot of the people now that I engage with here in Clonay, I know through Kilmac Mochra, like Shane Fitzgerald, and
a very active club. And of course also you're shortlisted as FPD Young Farmer of the Year and the Land Mobility Award. That was huge national recognition for you.
Yeah, it was a bit, yeah, it kind of felt like imposter syndrome nearly. I was only, the first time I won it I was only a year, I wasn't even a year,
right,
maybe 6 or 10 months.
We surprised the uptake of interest in it, because at the time, as I said earlier in the first half of the talk with you, leasing farms, particularly a young woman leasing a farm, it was unheard of.
Yeah.
You didn't realise the history that you were making.
No.
Yeah.
No, I still don't, and people would say it to you, but like to me it's just,
right,
I'm just farming, like I'm just going about what everyone else is doing. And
you seem very happy here. Met your partner earlier, Jordan, here as well. So living down here in Clonay Power, and a great community down here as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, the neighbours are great. Like they wouldn't see you stuck for anything if you wanted to borrow a trailer, or if my bull happened to wander off into next door, he'll hang on to him, and he'll give you a text, your bull is in here or whatever. Or they mightn't even text you, might just wander up and he'll have him in the yard for you.
You mentioned the importance of having Ruth Fennell as your advisor. You also have a vet that you work closely with, but also of course IFAC have been a huge part. Your dad mentioned earlier in the leasing initially, but ongoing, having an accountant like Andre and IFAC by your side is a huge help as well, you said before we come in here.
Oh yeah, massive. Like Owen and Jamie, if ever I need a set of accounts or anything for, say, getting an overdraft or the loan or anything, just shoot them an email and they're back to you straight away. I'm also doing what's it called? I can't even think of it. It's like a profit monitor with IFAC. They're working on it at the minute, cost control planner thing. I'm working with Philip and Duren for that. And that's a massive help. We meet every 4 months or every 3 months after the bookkeeper has come, and we compare the budget we made at the start of the year to the actuals. So it's great. Like, Duren goes through everything with a fine tooth comb, and I can see exactly what's happening.
For such a young girl, do you mind me asking how old you are?
29.
Yeah. Well, my God, you've achieved some amount running a farm, the business side, the agricultural side, the advice side, changing environment, sustainability, all that's coming at you, but you seem to be taking it in your stride.
Yeah, but it's nearly common knowledge now at this stage. Like, it's like the farming part is easy. And if I do ever get stuck, Daddy and John are there for advice. And then the business side of things, like keeping on top of the best price and all that, that's all drilled into me then from Mammy, because she'd have a head in her for business. So she's helpful with all that and the bank, dealing with the banks. Great. Like, that's where she comes into play. So
Tom, listening to her here, it's amazing what she's achieved. And as you say early on, you shouting up the stairs to come down and help feed the calves or get involved for a girl who went to UCD. My God, money well spent, because she went to New Zealand and now she's such a successful. You must be such a proud dad.
I'm delighted with her, of course I am. Even though all she says I do is come down and give out about her. We might slightly disagree. I'd like something done yesterday. And Maura said, I'll do it tomorrow. But it would be done when I'd come back maybe the next time, all right. But of course I am. She's doing a great job. But as I say myself, there's always a bit of room for improvement.
Mairead, finally, when you see what you've achieved in such a short time, picture the girl going to the arts school. Did you ever believe she'd be running and managing and having leased a farm down here in Clanapower?
No. Under no circumstances, no. Even when Daddy was, like, only for Mam and Dad, I wouldn't be here. Like, they backed me financially and they did all that, and they're great
sisters. And they encouraged you, because it was a real deal-breaker, historic move for a young girl to lease a farm, 15 years.
That's it. Like, when I left college, I had a job on a farm down in Killa, and I stayed there for a year, and I kind of felt I got everything I could out of the place. Yes. So I didn't really know what my next move was. I kind of quit without having anything. And then our neighbours over the road, Emmett Pendergast down in Ashdale Farm, they said they'd love to give me a job. So I was there with them for 6 months. But Mam and Dad knew I wasn't, that's not what I wanted to be. I didn't want to be a labourer forever, but I had it in my head, like, I'll start here, do a couple of years, and in another couple of years I'll be a manager, and then in another couple of years I'll be a share milker or something.
And but now you're your own boss.
And they were just like, would you just, they pushed me into it. They said, you'll never, if the way you keep going, you'll never be ready. Because I was like, I don't have the money to do it, I don't have this, that and the other thing. And they just said,
it's a fantastic story. You deserve great credit. Your mum and dad deserve great credit for backing you all the way, and all the banks and the accountants and advisors that helped you along the way. But without the drive you have, and you're really happy in what you're doing. I can sense it with you. Farming is your life. It's a real vocation for you. But you're really happy and delighted to have made that change.
Oh, well, I love it. I couldn't imagine myself doing anything else. Like, people talk about being tied to the farm 24/7 and that it's tough and the spring and this and that, the other thing. Realistically, the spring is 2 months of the year. You're calving from February, March, maybe, depending on when you start. You're flat out. You don't have anything else to be, like, there's nothing else on your mind. You're just calving. And then things quieten down in April. You might have the last few to calf. They might stretch out into May. And then you're into breeding. Like it is a busy time of the year, but come now, June, July. Everything is done. You're milking in the evening, you're milking in the morning. The day is yours to do what you want. You can go into town for a few hours, you can go to the dentist, you can do whatever you want. And if you do want to go away at the weekends,
look, it's a fantastic story. I love your positivity. It's great to see a young woman having the initiative, indeed having the backbone, and it's such a brave move. Lease a farm for 15 years. In a few short years, you've transformed what's down here in Clanapower. To your dad Tom, your mum Catherine, to your brother John, but particularly to you, Mairead, congrats, well done, keep up the great work. So Damien, that's it, a story with a difference. Mairead Barron leasing a farm down here in Clanapower for 15 years, an historic move by her all those years ago, and definitely a young woman who deserves great credit. Back to you in studio.
WLR's My Farming Week, a Daisha Today special on some of Ireland's best farms.
Thanks to IFAC, providing tax and accountancy advice for your farm business.